Morning. We've come to celebrate God's goodness, God's mercy and His grace, and we're grateful to be here today. While you're turning to the book of Psalms, I have a couple of things I wanted to share with you. We'll be sharing with you from the scripture today, from Psalms 48, Psalm 96, and also Psalm 145. But we do have our Sunday school books that have come in, and you'll need to see Gary Pritchett. He'll make arrangements that you can get your Sunday school book. We realize that we're in the midst of this pandemic, but that doesn't mean we can't study God's Word. Amen? So see Gary Pritchett, and he'll make sure you get the Sunday school books. For those that are listening online, for those that are listening in the parking lot, and for those that may be listening later on WLLL Radio, we are celebrating communion today. And so we ask that you get you a piece of bread and some grape juice, and we will share with you in the communion at the close of this service. So prepare yourself for that. The Bible says to examine yourself, and that's what we want to do. Also, we ask that you would pray for Donna Robertson. She had surgery this week, and continue to keep her in your prayers, that the Lord would provide His healing. Pray also for Diane Slade. She was in the hospital, and I think she's doing better now, so pray for her. And also, we ask that you keep the family of Rita Alexander in prayer, as Rita's memorial service will be held here at the Crossroad Baptist Church on December the 5th at 1 p.m. So keep those families in your prayers. We also have a thank you. This comes from Jesse and Barbara Newby and from Mary Fleshman. Thank you, Crossroad. It is great to know the world is full of such generous people like you. We thank you for the gift card for Senior Day. And they also wish a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. So God bless you. Let's turn in the Word as we look at our giving of thanks and giving of praise to God. And last Sunday, we talked about the benefits of praise. Today, I want to continue along that same thought, that we would think about our praise and our worship to God, not just during times of thanksgiving, but it's always a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to make His deeds known among men. As we read from Psalm 48, our first verse today, Psalm 48 and verse 1, listen to the words of this psalm. Great, our God is great, and is greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. And then Psalm 96 and verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And then our last verse, Psalm 45 and verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. All of these verses speak to the greatness of God, but they also speak to the fact that He is greatly to be praised. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you the thought today, the capacity for praise. The capacity for praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for allowing us to come to this place of worship, whether we're worshiping online or whether we're worshiping in the privacy of our rooms or wherever we are today, or in the parking lot, or in this midst of this building. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We lift our heads above the situations that we're in, and we give you praise. Because you are worthy, and Lord, you are to be honored and feared above everything else. So Lord, we just rejoice in you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today, and the time that we spend together before your word and in your presence, may it indeed be time well spent. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. God is great, and He is greatly to be praised. I want to challenge you today, and I challenge myself today, that we would develop in our heart and in our habits of praise, great praise. Not just to give God thanks, just to say, okay, in gratitude. You would do that for anybody. But these Psalms, I believe, express the fact that you have the capacity to give God great praise. Why would God ask you to do something that you didn't have the capability of doing? So I want you to expand your mind, expand your heart, and be motivated to give God not just a casual thank you every now and then, not just to thank him for ordinary things, but to thank him in a great way. Why? Because he is greatly to be praised. You magnify the Lord. People say, well, why should I magnify the Lord? And I want to tell you this. Praise to God should never be limited to our cliches. Don't just come up with a bunch of cliches and say, okay, that's going to represent my praise. Praise has to come from within your heart. It has to be something deeply rooted in your spirit that connects with God. Praise also has to express the truth of God that has been revealed to your soul. What you're doing is you're releasing something out of your spirit up to God. You have been made in the image of God. Now, I want to show you this. The only way that you can give God this great praise is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not something that is humanly generated. When you were born again, in other words, a devil can't praise God and they won't praise God. But someone who has been regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God, someone that knows that God is good, as Reverend Ray says many times, God is good. But you've got to give him the great praise that is worthy of his name. Some of you say, well, why should I praise God? Just take a look around. Take a look around at his awesome power. Take a look around at the creation of God. Take a look around at the majesty of God. In the spring, God lets you know that it's springtime, but because he makes everything green and lovely. In the fall of the year, you see the trees begin to turn and you see the colors in array. And even though they're in a state where they're beginning to drop off and to lose their life, they are yet a reflection of the majesty and the glory of God. How can you look at the mountains and just say, that's something? How can you look at the mighty ocean and say, oh, that's nice? When you hear the dashing of the waves and you see those glorious, majestic mountains that God has made, you say within your heart, how great is our God, and he's worthy of all praise. Now, I'm afraid that there are many people during this holiday that because they can't do the usual, since we've got this pandemic that we're living in, and we want to abide by safety rules, we want to do those things that can keep us living past Thanksgiving. Are y'all here? But just because you've got all of these situations going on, that does not mean that God has changed. He's still good, and he's still all-powerful. And you need to let folk know that he's real. You need to let people know that God is this awesome God that you serve. Let your praises be lifted up to him and to acknowledge that he is God. We acknowledge his power. We acknowledge that it's the Lord that made all things. We acknowledge that. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us in Psalms 115, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And we told you last Sunday that the rock has got its testimony. But God has given you something that has caused you to have your own testimony about how great and how good God is. Amen. The old folks used to say, he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. He is worthy to be praised. Amen, somebody. The Bible says if we should count all of the wonder things that God has done for us, they are too numerous for us to even tell. I want to put you in the mindset. I want to allow you to see the goodness of God, that as you celebrate this Thanksgiving, even though you may have few people around you, you may not have a lot of people around you, but you are still blessed. You are blessed. And you've been kept by the grace and by the power of God Almighty. I'm so glad that I know the Lord. Amen? Amen. But then, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank God for his kindness. Have you ever noticed how kind God is? Even when he is angry, you know what the Bible says? That his anger does not endure forever. But the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, It endures forever. I'm telling you, we can do some things sometimes to stir God's anger. We can do some things sometimes to rebel against him. And yes, God does get angry. He is a just God, but he's also a kind God. At one point, the psalmist woke up and he realized in his mind and in his soul, he said, "No, the Lord has not dealt with me according to my iniquity." I want to tell you, God has not dealt with me according to my sin. God has not dealt with me according to my shortcomings, but according to his tender mercy and his kindness. Isn't God good today? When we give God praise, we're releasing something from our heart that acknowledges the presence of God. And what these verses do, they challenge us that if God is great, don't just give him ordinary praise as you would anything else. It bothers me that many times people get more excited. And I'm not saying you have to do it and making a noise and all of these things, but in your heart of hearts, you need to be saying something that give God thanks. People that say, well, when you praise God in a loud way and in a loud voice in the church, they'll tell you it doesn't take all that. Well, why don't the same folks say that when somebody scores a touchdown or somebody scores a basket and all they've done is run across the finish line, put a little ball through a hoop, and folks go crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. When I think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me, don't mind me, but I'm going to go crazy up in here. I'm going to give him some great praise because no one could have done it but the Lord. Nobody could have brought you through all of that. And the fact that you're still here, you might still be hurting, but you're still here. And you might still have some memories of what you went through, but you're still here. He is greatly, listen to this, he is greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Now, in the city of God, that was a reference to Jerusalem for the old church or what we call the Old Testament time. But now the city of our God is made up of a number of people from many places across the planet. We represent the city of our God. We're citizens of a new country, of the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you that if God is great, you ought to give him some great praise. We give him praise because of his greatness. We give him praise because of his kindness. But I want to share with you basically three things that will help you to realize the magnitude and how wonderful praise is. It's an awesome thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's an awesome thing to really praise God and to thank him for all that he's done. I want to first of all share with you the fact that when you don't praise God, you're not really keeping up with what God is doing. God could be doing some marvelous things around you, but now you're focused on your issues, your problems, your needs, all of the things that could cause you to be burdened down. You ask people, how you doing? I'm doing all right. And the head goes down as they say that phrase. I don't want to just be doing all right. My heart is telling me that I can do better. And until I do get better, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to give him thanks. If you will read your Bible carefully, you will notice that many of the people that went through problems didn't start praising God after they got out of the problem. They started praising God while they were still in it. They knew that God was going to do something. They couldn't figure it out. They didn't know when. Look at Job for just a minute. Job was right in the midst of a problem. He had lost everything except his life. His health was gone. His children were gone. His fields and crops had already been destroyed. His servants had been destroyed except for a few that he had. And Job said in the midst of his storm, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can gather up and muster up the strength to praise God, it will do this thing called educating you. Praise educates you to the works of God and to what God is doing. Many times you've asked yourself, what is God doing in my life? Why is he allowing this? Well, you ought to be praising him and then you can find out. If you would start lifting your voice in praise, you say, well, preacher, what do you mean by that? The Bible tells us in John 14 and verse 26 that Jesus said before he went back into heaven, he said, I will send you another comforter. Now, think about this. Why would you need another comforter if things were going all right? Why would you need the paraclete to walk with you? Why would you need God Almighty to walk with you if you weren't going to have some problems? I know some of you can write down your problems today on a list. And what I want you to do, if you feel like doing that, then write Jesus right next to it. Write the Lord of glory right next to it, because great praise allows you to see that no matter what you're going through, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, I'm going to take you through it. I will make you stronger. I will cause your faith to grow. You will know that God is real. You'll know that his goodness endures forever. And you won't get burnt out or burdened down with where you are right now. If you start praising God, it will educate you. What do you mean by that, preacher? It'll tell you where the Lord brought you from. But then your praise, right while you're praising God, it will also show you that this is not the end. This is not an end. This might be a situation. This might be a problem. But the Holy Spirit has come to teach you all things and to bring all things to your remembrance. Isn't that good? When you start praising God, you start becoming more and more influence and knowledgeable of all the situations. There were some things I've been going through in my life, some things that I've seen, and I've wondered why. Lord, why do we have homeless people? But you know what God tells me about is that over in glory, there's a home for everybody. They might not have a place down here, but guess what? In my Father's house, can I shout? There are many rooms, many mansions. Amen. And I'm so glad that this is not the end of the matter. A lot of people are shaking their heads saying, when is this pandemic going to be over? I'm wondering the same thing. But when I start praising God, it's already over. I've already got the victory. I've already known that God has given us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think about how praise educates us, how praise informs us, because now you're lifted up to a higher level. Now the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you. Now God is bringing back to your remembrance what he said in his word. God cannot break his word. He cannot. Every promise in Christ is yes and amen. God does not say, well, I used to do that, but now I can't do that anymore. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And your praises will remind you of that. There was a man that was most unlikely is the one that would give God praise. Balaam was a false prophet. This man would do anything for a dollar. All right? But Balaam, in Numbers 24 and verse 1, decided that he was going to give God praise. Now, he only did it for a little while, and then he messed up. But the Bible tells us in Numbers 24 and verse 1, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. Now, what does that mean? Balaam recognized that the Lord was God, and that God was going to bless Israel, and that the Lord was going to keep them. No army would march against them and destroy them because they were the Lord's people. And if you ever found in your scripture anyone that blessed Israel and praised God for keeping Israel, it was Balaam. Now, he messed up a couple of weeks later when he gave advice to destroy them, and God destroyed him. In the end, he was killed with the sword because he didn't stick to his praise. Now, if God could show Balaam what he would do and how he would keep Israel, wonder what would happen if you started praising God and said, Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. You'll never find it until you open up your mouth, open up your heart, and start giving God praise from your heart. You praise God, and it informs you as to who God is and how wonderful his works are. Amen? Many of the psalms that you read, they're psalms of praise. They're psalms of praise. They were written in times of despair. They were written in times where things were not going well. The psalmist David, he faced some situations, and other psalmists, they looked at situations. They saw how tragic life could be, but rather than keeping their mind on their problems, they wrote songs about God. In one particular psalm, and I want to share with you the second aspect of praise, it not only educates you, it elevates you. It lifts you up. The choir just sung a song. You know, he'll lift you up. Once another song said he'll lift you up on an eagle's wing. Because oftentimes we're right there facing whatever it is, and that's all that captures our mind. That's all we can think about. It wakes us up at night. We walk the floor. We worry. We think about what we could possibly do. If you would start praising God, you could go back to sleep a whole lot earlier. The Bible tells us in one psalm, and this reflects on our second verse where we said that praise is not only good, but it says that for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Above all gods. When you make your worry your focus, you're worshiping your problem rather than God. God wants you to worship him. Because when you worship him, then you're being elevated above your situation. In Psalm 42, King David was facing another depressing and heartaching situation that had happened in his life. His own son, Absalom, had now entered into Jerusalem and was threatening to not only take over the kingship, but to destroy his life. What do you do in times like that? David had a conversation with his soul. Here's what he says in Psalm 42 and verse number 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Hope in God. Notice the rest of the verse. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. When everything was going wrong, when all of the situations seemed to be turning in the wrong direction, the psalmist said, look here, soul, we need to have a talk. When is the last time that you in prayer have had a good talk with yourself? Why are you so worried about this? God has not changed. He's the same God that you've served from the beginning. Then he tells himself, hope in God. Isn't it wonderful how you find this hope and it lifts your spirit? Next time people say to you, how you doing? You don't say, well, it's all right. You say, it's getting better. I'm doing okay because the Lord is my keeper. I don't have to take you back to that basic psalm that we quote all the time, the Lord is my shepherd. What does the next verse say? I shall not want. In other words, I'll never be in a situation where God can't take. Can I shout another time in here? Your praise elevates you. If you keep looking at the numbers of the people that have been infected with this pandemic and you keep looking at the numbers of the folks that are dying, yes, that's important. We need to pray for the people, but look at the numbers who've recovered. Look at the people that didn't get sick. Look at what God is doing to heal us if we keep praying. Our healing is with God. Our strength is with God. I don't want you to get up on this next Thursday morning and say, you know what? What do I have to praise God for? You got everything to praise God for. You give him thanks and give him glory because he's worthy of all the praise. Praise elevates you. You get just a little bit taller. You know what David said when he was on the battlefield against Goliath? Now, he hadn't written all the songs at that time. He was about 17 years old, and a giant came against him. And that giant was telling him, I'm going to tear you apart. And that giant came out to him, and David said, you come against me with spear and with shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. If we begin to praise God and thank him, we can come against our situations in the power of God. And I don't know about you, I'd much rather live in the power of the Spirit than in the power and the weakness of the flesh. It'll give out. And you'll give in. And the next thing you know, you'll be going through some circumstances that's overwhelming. A lot of people are committing suicide. A lot of people are taking drug overdoses. A lot of people are trying to drink themselves out of their problem. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there's one thing you can do. that works every time. If you could just give God some praise. You don't have to pay any money to the drug dealer. You don't have to go to the ABC store. I wonder why they name it after an alphabet and make it sound simple. ABC. Make it sound so simple. But once you get into that bottle, it ain't simple no more. Now you got a problem all of itself. But when God comes in and he elevates you, isn't it wonderful? Every time you come to church, every time you get into prayer and praise, that begins to do something in your life to educate you about God, to let you know he'll never fail you, and to elevate you above your problem. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All of that happens while you praise God. No one should have to beg you to praise God. Amen. Preachers shouldn't have to get up here and say, come on, let's clap our hands. You ought to have your hands ready and praise God. Lastly, not only does praise educate and praise elevates us, but praise emancipates us. Being emancipated means to have freedom. It means to be set free. Your past should not control your future. What you've been through should not dominate your life. You have been free. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I want to be free indeed. I don't want to just be away from my problem. I want to be free of the problem. Let me just share something with you. Nothing that you went through on yesterday should have any control on you today. Why? This is the day the Lord has made. You need to rejoice and be glad in it. Every time that bad memory, that bad experience, or that loss should come to your mind, you ought to be saying to yourself, but God is with me today. The Lord is my keeper. He's my shade upon the right hand. Things from your past shouldn't be scorching you, shouldn't be burning you, shouldn't be causing you to be hopeless right now. Your hope is in the living God. Remember what the psalmist said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why so disturbed in me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. When praise comes into your heart, it sets you free. It gives you freedom of your mind, of your soul, and of your spirit. The Bible tells us of two workers, two men who had gone out on a mission. And they traveled through this town of Philippi because they were doing the work of God and performing the things that God had called them to do. They were thrown in prison. You see how sometimes when you do the right things, bad things happen. But that doesn't mean that that's the end of the matter. That means that it's another situation that now you become a candidate for God's blessing. Amen. God voted for you to be approved of his grace. They threw Paul and Silas into the jail, thinking that that would be the end of the matter. But rather than getting into the jail and getting an attitude, you know how it is when we're wronged by people and we know we're right? Oh, just wait till tomorrow. And I'm going to get even with them. Paul and Silas did not entertain those things in their mind, not because they were not human. They had wounds. They had been beaten. They had been mistreated. But the Bible says at midnight, they prayed and they sang some songs to God and they worshiped. And while they were worshiping, the prisoners were listening. Now, here's what I want to close this message with today. When you start praising God, you're going to get folks' attention. They're going to either think you're crazy or you know something. Amen, somebody. Now, while you still got the problem, it looks like you lost your mind. People mistreated you like that. What in the world are you praising God for? Keep on praising him. The Bible says at midnight, not only was there praise and were their prayers heard, but God began to shake the building. Do I have a witness here? An earthquake hit at midnight. Now watch this. God could have said, I just want to set Paul and Silas free. But because the prisoners had made contact with praise, it had to resonate something in their heart, and it says that every cell was open. Every door was open, not just Paul and Silas, but the folk that were listening. You don't know how your praise can bless somebody else. Choir, keep on singing. Amen. People, keep on praising God, because your praise is going to touch somebody. It will set the captive free. It will loose you from your bonds. And the Bible said the chains just fell off everybody. They could have run if they wanted to, but they said, why are we going to run? Because we've already been set free. God has set you free today. I wish just two or three people, and I know we're in the midst of Corona, and you got to have your social distance. Don't touch anybody, but look at your neighbor and tell neighbor, God has set me free. The Lord has set me free. I had a praise in my heart, and I gave God the praise. Now I'm free. Every problem, every sickness, every need, I have been set free. Shout yes, somebody. God has set you free. The Lord has delivered you. You're not in bondage. I'm free now. I'm free now. Martin Luther King said, let freedom ring. Amen, but you can't let freedom ring until you let your praise ring. Who set you free? Who gave you the strength? Who provided for you? It is the Lord, and He's worthy. He's worthy. I got to stop right here. I'm not out of sermon, but I'm out of time. I got to stop right here. But I want to ask you a question. Isn't God good? I want to ask the folks over here, isn't God good? Oh, then if He's good, then raise your hand and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Because the Lord is good. Yes, He's great. And He's greatly to be praised. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, I thank you. No matter what I've been through, no matter what I'm going through and experience it right now, you're still worthy of praise. You're still worthy of all the glory. Thank you when I look at the storms that I've had, that you didn't keep me in that situation, but you were with me in the storm. Thank you, dear Lord, when we cried out of fear and out of pain, you came to our rescue. Didn't owe us a thing, but gave us everything. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't worship a Lord like that? God, so thank you. If there's someone who does not know you, give them that praise. Give them, Lord, a mind to serve you and honor you today and to cry out, Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I need you as the one who delivers my soul. And then, Lord, I pray you'd set them free by your grace and by your love. I pray this in Jesus' strong name and for his sake. And all the believers said, amen. I want to give the invitation while the choir comes. I want to give the invitation if there's one. I know we have to, can't touch anybody, can't give you a right hand of fellowship. We might wave at you. But the main thing is to pray that prayer, to give your heart to the Lord, and to know that He's God, to know that He is an awesome and almighty God. If there's one, if you're listening online, surrender to Him. Why are you going to keep on running from Him? Why will you keep on denying Him when you know that He's there? Give your heart to Him today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once you get your communion ready as the choir sings, let's prepare our hearts. Get that ready if you're at home, if you're listening in the parking lot. And after the choir sings, we'll be bringing you the communion. Then we'll close our service. We'll ask Brother Joe to come and dismiss us in prayer after we have our communion. If there's anyone that needs to be served, just wave your hand and we'll try to get that to you.
Our Father everlasting, the all-created one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
Thank you, choir. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he gave thanks. He also took the cup afterward. He said to his disciples, "This is the cup of the New Testament, given with my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show my suffering until I come." Father, thank you for these elements. Thank you for blessing us to be able to share them at this time. Bless the bread, bless the cup, that, Lord, it might be able to be changed from its natural use to spiritual. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us take of the bread and let us eat together. Let's take the cup and let us drink together. Amen. And the Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, that they went out into the Mount of Olives singing a hymn. I had a little song that came to mind as Job comes to dismiss us. And it's a simple song, but it's one that's so powerful. And I know that you and I have all either heard it someplace or time. Tragedy is commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's down, they can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hey, hey, it could have been me. Tragic end, but you didn't see fit. Let none of these things be. By your grace and your power, you keep on keeping me. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today for all of what you've done and are doing in our lives, even in the midst of what the entire world is going through. We know you are present. We rely, dear God, on your power and your guidance and your provision. So we come here today thanking you for this message that you have given to us. As our hearts yearn, God, to continue to serve you, we are encouraged by the words, O God, that we have heard today. And may we, O God, as we leave here today, go out and encourage others, particularly those who have not said yes to Christ. We thank you, O God, and we, as we read the scripture, we are reminded, as David says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works towards the children of men." We thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, we also thank you for the privilege of giving. We ask, O God, that you use the offering that men and women, boys and girls, may have an opportunity to hear the message of hope, and that they will accept your invitation and trust you before it's too late. So as we dismiss here today, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless our family, continue to bless each one of us, and may the Holy Spirit empower us to go out and to tell others about your love. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, for Christ's sake. Amen.